Greetings. This is Ziggy, and you're listening to the Starbright Project.
Dr. Ben Song risked everything when he used the Quantum Leap Accelerator to travel back in time. Now our team's working to find out why. As he leaps between bodies with no memory of who he is, he still has one hope that his next leap takes him back to the place and people he calls home.
Hey Leapers, Quantum Leap has returned to the air, and so has Michelle, Hayden, and myself, Aaron. Join us as we look at the exploits of Ben, Addison, and the rest of the Quantum Leap crew as they work to get Ben home, and possibly discover what happened to Dr. Sam Beckett. Join us for the new series of Quantum Leap, only on the Headcast Network. And welcome to the Starbright Project. As usual, I am your host, or one of your hosts, Aaron Brotherhead Moss. And as always, joining me is my beautiful wife, Michelle.
You called me beautiful
today. Yeah. And I called you Michelle.
I am. Hello, everybody.
Also joining us is that guy from the land down under.
Ho, 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 and a couple of tra-la-las. That's how we laugh a day away in the merry old land of Oz.
Or maybe he's an evil leap. I'm not quite sure yet. Hayden McQueenie. Hey, Hayden. How's it going, man?
Thanks, Aaron. Yeah, not bad. Although I do have to say, I've farted and made the house rock, you know, a lot harder than it did under an earthquake. So, yeah, I think maybe they better get me there for the special effects because...
Yeah, we'll talk about that. So we are here to talk about Quantum Leap, Season 6, as we're calling it, Episode 6. This was called What a Disaster. It was directed by Helen Shaver and Chris Grismer, written by, so according to Wikipedia, the story was by Stephen Lillian and Brian Winbrandt, and the teleplay was by Stephen Lillian and Brian Winbrandt and Martin Giro.
We should point out that this particular episode was originally going to be the pilot, and for some reason they decided to shift it a bit further back and put the heist leap as the opening leap. If you knew that, it's very clear where they're using the older footage and where they've used the newer
stuff.
Sometimes
it was, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I was wondering, maybe Martin came in and made the rewrites or the additions or whatever to fit in as episode 6, maybe. I don't know.
So the original leap location and date was San Francisco, California, October 17th, 1989. And the original air date was October 24th, 2022. So here is the synopsis from Wikipedia. It says that Ben leaps into John Harvey in San Francisco moments before 1989's Loma Prieta, I can never say that word, Prieta earthquake. He learns he is there to help John's estranged wife, Naomi, save their son, Jason, who originally died in the aftermath of the earthquake. Meanwhile, Ben relives his memories of his deceased mother, who died after an argument with him. Ben finds Jason at the family's old apartment building in Oakland, but gives inside to help an old neighbor and is knocked unconscious by falling debris. Fortunately, Jason is able to revive him, and they escaped the building moments before it collapses. Ben also manages to repair the family's relationship and then uses a hospital phone to call his mother just as he leaves. Ben then awakens in a priest on Halloween. In 2022, the team tries to figure out the identity of the mystery leaper encountered during Ben's previous leap. They learn he is Richard Martinez, a Marine stationed at Camp Pendleton. However, Martinez has no knowledge of the project and a clean record, which leads Magic and the team to theorize that Martinez will become the Leaper at an unspecified point in the future, making Ian realize that Ben is attempting to reach the future through his leaps.
And that is What a Disaster. As Hayden was saying, this was originally the pilot, but the powers that be, God, time, fate, whatever, decided to substitute with the bank heist instead of this. So there was some changes made to make this fit in more here. I'm surprised that they didn't play more into the Swiss cheese memory so they would have had to do less futzing with it. Because, yeah. I mean, here he knows he's with Allison. God damn it.
I know. I told you, as soon as he started pointing all that out, that's what was going to happen. I'm glad I'm not the first one that did it.
But he remembers he's with Allison.
I'm seriously going to punch my computer soon. The number of people on all the forums that are saying Allison instead of Addison, it's not that bloody difficult. Yeah, I think everyone's just obsessed with Allison from the Quantum Leap podcast. They just can't separate.
Yeah, only caught part of that conversation. I saw something about Allison. That's who I thought you guys were talking about at first. And then I read, like, okay, I see what they're saying. I think I saw the post on our chat thing, and I thought you guys saw that Allison. And then I saw the actual post you were talking about on Facebook where they were calling her Allison instead of Addison. I'm like, oh, okay, that's what he's talking about. But yeah, I'm a little surprised they didn't lean more into the Swiss cheese memory to use more of the original footage. But yeah, there was a moment you could look and you could see where, yeah, that looks like it's from the pilot.
Well, it was very obvious when they were using the original pilot's footage because they still kept the footage in with Addison using the original hand link. So the scene that they had at the start where she switches out the hand link, that's obviously because they wanted to use some of the footage from the pilot where she had the older looking hand link.
Right. And,
yeah. I quite like that hand link actually too. Just a nice little, you know, bit of plastic, which looks kind of futuristic. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, and I liked it.
I wonder if we'll see more upgrades to the hand links as we go.
Hopefully. But yeah, I see when, at the beginning when he starts getting people out of the building and he looks at his wife, Naomi, and he says, that, you know, she had, how do you know? He goes, I just remembered. You can tell that was from, to me, that looked like that was from the original pilot, the way he said that, because it looks like he doesn't know why he knows in that scene when obviously if this was the sixth episode, he would know why he knows. But yeah, I remember that earthquake. I was living up in Merced, which is about a town where I grew up from. And I was in my apartment playing video games and I'm sitting there in a chair in the living room playing video games when the earthquake happened. My chair started, what the heck? And it, you know, I was far enough away where from the earthquake site where it wasn't a bad move where I was at. So it was just like a little rocking. Like, why is my chair move? What's going on? And then later on, I found out about the earthquake in by San Francisco. So
my parents were watching the World Series and I was in my bedroom doing homework on my bed. Cause you know, I was quite young then and didn't have an apartment.
Yes, you were quite young.
What year was this again?
What, 12? 89? October of 89?
Yeah. So I would have been, I was only 3 and on the other side of the world. So any shaking that I felt was just something that I farted at the time. Well, what you were saying about the Swiss cheese memory, though, it I suppose makes a little more sense that they wouldn't lean that heavily into it because, like we said, they've moved it to episode 6 and he has been remembering stuff. So Unless they really wanted to go through the route of, you know, having what happened sort of with Sam originally in the series, where every leap it would be somewhat different as to how much he would remember and how much of his memory he would lose from leap to leap.
Yeah.
In this series, it seems that, you know, there is this strong progression where Ben is regaining his memory and especially this to try and solve this mystery of why he leapt originally and, you know, what he's there to do and how to get answers for the project. So
yeah,
I don't have a problem really with the fact they didn't lean as heavily into the Swiss cheese memory side of things.
Oh, I didn't have a problem with that. I thought maybe they might have done that to help with, I guess, the editing process or whatever, the merging of the two.
Yeah.
But no, I thoroughly enjoyed this.
Yeah, this was a great episode. But let's hear from the noob first.
So, like I was telling you guys before, it was a good I enjoyed the episode. Especially the second time I watched it, but it still just feels like a TV show to me.
Okay, well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
One thing that we've been talking about since we've been doing this is the two parts of the show. There's the leaping part and then the 2022 portion. Mm-hmm. How do you think that was handled this episode? Was there too much of one or the other, or?
I think this was a happy balance to me. It didn't feel like okay enough already.
Right.
On one way or the other. Though I like more of the leap than I do the the other stuff, which, you know, everybody was like, oh, you're going to like this because it's right. going to show more of the back end. No. Because
that was one of your big complaints about the yeah. last series.
It still doesn't show me. It doesn't show, like, it says, oh, yeah, well, we did this on the computer. We did this. It's really not how it was made, how it was, what it's doing. It's just feels like, you know, CSI kind of stuff. So, no, it doesn't really do what I wanted it to do. It's not, she's not in the imaging chamber. She's not, I mean, every once in a while it kind of shows, it doesn't show the other person in the
Well, at this point, there is no other holding other
that's
person.
That's what I'm saying, but, yeah. though, but that's what I wanted. Right. So it's not doing what I wanted. It's just kind of doing the opposite, really. It's just adding more meh to that part. I enjoy the show. It's not one of those, we went on the break because we're recording this like later on. We went on the break. And I was like, ooh, another one's coming on. I'm looking forward to it. That surprised me because I was wondering if it was going to be, I don't miss it. So I did look forward to the next episode, which was nice. I will say that this episode, I enjoyed more than some of the previous episodes.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
It wasn't a pig farmer episode then.
It was definitely not that. I will say that getting to know some of Ben's past was kind of nice, especially his regrets, you know, and seeing their relationship, knowing that she knew a lot of this already, because some of it, I know she didn't say that she talked to him about his parents, but she knew enough that his mom died. So they've had intimate conversation, which I like that it kind of showed that with their relationship, even though he couldn't remember a lot and he didn't give her a lot of detail, there's still some information. And I like that she said that he's like a different person in there.
Right.
That he's been opening up to her even more and there's a connection and she's falling even more in love with him. And I thought that was a really neat thing. Because you would think that she'd be really angry with him and hurt with him because of all the stuff that's going on. But she's still finding the positive in with him, which is nice as well. So there was a lot. I liked the story. I liked at the end that the marriage was reconciled, I guess you could say. And the son's relationship was reconciled. And like they tied it up in a little pretty bow for me. I liked that. Because I don't like when it's like, oh, yeah, it's gloom and doom and, you know, that kind of thing. So I enjoyed that part of it. You could tell it was meant to be the pilot when they were trying to explain the stuff between magic and what's her name?
Jen.
Yeah. When he was trying to, she was all talking about how this works and that worked. But it still went right over my head, which is kind of funny. So I was just like, huh?
See, I like that part where she's using little figures and. It's like, I've got props to help, you know, make it, I forget how she phrased it now, but she was using props to make it easier for him to understand.
It's like, yeah, I get it. Keep going. So, I mean, there was a lot of elements of it that I really enjoyed. So, all in all, it was a good episode.
And see, that's one thing that has me, again, a little worried is that I'm not sure how much of the original series are keeping intact because Sam and Al have met, they know there's other leapers out there. Mm-hmm. They've met evil leapers a couple of different times.
Right.
The project at this point knows nothing about any other leapers because they were like, other leapers, what? It seems like that there should be some, or should have been some
documentation,
some notes or something about Aaliyah and Zoe and Tim's. Yeah, Tim's from when Sam met them. So I don't know if A, again, it's been 20 years, was it? Yeah, 20 years since the original Quantum Leap took place. Maybe the notes got lost over time or something. Or if B, they're not acknowledging that happened. Or C, maybe somewhere in that 20-year leap or span, Sam's changed things and Lothos doesn't exist anymore.
That's what I was seeing, especially with the changing of Dean's or with Al's new, well, with his family and everything, right, and all of that, maybe that kind of changed with it. And then I'm thinking, or maybe, well, but then that wouldn't make sense though. Because I'm saying, well, maybe Al himself, like, did something to change that. But no, I like the idea of Sam having changed it, so there really is not that.
Yes, I don't know exactly. I'm hoping it's still out there, because, again, like we've talked about during those episodes, I really like the concept of Lothos and evil leapers. And
I forget and who evil, Lothos is.
That's Ziggy.
Their computer.
Oh, okay.
Their version is Ziggy.
I'm thinking, is it the lady, that mean lady?
No, that was
Zoe.
Yeah, it's Zoe.
Zoe. And then the girl who got shot was...
Zoe's the one that got shot. That was originally, it was Aaliyah.
Who was her Al?
Al was the original leaper, and Zoe was her Al. And then when Sam...
Wait. Who was the original leaper?
Aaliyah.
That's
was the evil leaper.
Okay.
And Zoe was her the bad Al.
Okay.
And then when the return of the evil leaper, when they leapt out and Sam held on to Aaliyah and they went to the woman's prison, Zoe became the leaper and Tim's was the hologram. That was the black guy.
Okay.
It was very amusing and comical to watch.
I don't remember, but I don't believe you. Yeah. I remember the guy. Like, I remember, and then, I know what he looked like.
Then that episode, Zoe, which was the leaper at that point, got shot.
Okay.
Because she was in the prison warden.
Mm. Okay. I'll have to rewatch those because I think I've only seen them once. And
yeah.
Well, to discuss what you were saying about what happened to the evil leapers, I just thought that maybe the information was still classified. Maybe magic might have the authority to look at it, but I really think that maybe he's only researched the parts that he wants to, which is mainly about him, more so than...
That's a very good point, Hayden. I like that.
Yeah. So, look, I think it's more the fact that they weren't expecting this rogue leaper, Leaper X, whatever they're calling it, Martinez, I think.
No, we're not doing that. No, we're not doing that.
It seems that, again, this idea of multiple leapers being able to see each other seems different to how it had been in the original series. And that might have also been what really shocked them, because they might have known that there might be other leapers out there, but that to break through the auras and see each other, they would have to touch.
You know,
well, no, because
anyway, hold on. And also, it's a good point to point out that, like Hayden was saying, well, when I thought you were saying, but anyways, what I was thinking is when Hayden was saying rogue leaper, really, Ben was a rogue leaper too. So maybe they weren't necessarily that far in all the documentation for that to have been brought up yet.
It's and possible.
So he kind of caught them off guard. So they're like thumbing through this information pretty quickly. Maybe they just haven't came across it yet. And eventually we will get there.
I'm hoping that's what it is. That's a good point. But it's just whether, yeah, they seem confused. There's other leapers out there. And then when we were talking and about, you know, where this guy came from, well, maybe he joins up with Lothos at some point.
And what I liked, though, was when everyone at the project was anxiously trying to figure out who this guy was, I loved the explanations that Ian and Jen were giving about who this guy possibly could be.
Right.
That he could be from a privately owned time travel company, or one that's owned by a foreign government, or even from their own project from some time in the future. So it looks like they are at least trying to think fourth dimensionally.
Oh, yeah. I did like that.
I'm liking this idea of, you know, maybe the reason that Ben had to leap was because his actual project wasn't trustworthy. And, you know, maybe that's why he had to go to Janus and why he's following Leaper X.
Right.
Because he can't give too much information away if the project is the evil force that they're trying to that he's trying to stop and needs to stop.
Could it be possible that someone in the project that we don't know yet is the reason why he's worried that what's her name's going to die? Addison?
Spoiler alert, by the way, because we're not up to that in the series yet. They reveal that in episode 8.
What do they reveal?
That he leapt to save Addison.
Oh, whoops, sorry.
So I have a feeling that anyone listening to us has probably seen up to that point already.
More than likely, yeah. But yeah, no, that is for a future discussion. So at this point, all we know is that he leapt and he was trying to slingshot himself backwards. And we think he's trying to get to the future to stop something or do something.
Which is kind of interesting, too, because like I understand the idea of leaping back in time if you need to change something that's already happened.
Right.
But, you know, we already move forwards in time. Why would he need to leap to the future when you could just wait and get there? I can see the wheels turning in your heads.
If I know you're going to be in a car accident tomorrow,
right?
Instead of leaping, well, that's beside the point. Instead of trying to leap through time and save you in the future, I can just wait it out and tomorrow say, hey, Michelle, don't go anywhere.
But that we've seen how that pans out. Every time that pans out, it's always
right,
like in the episode we watched with the original Quantum Leap, where the singer lady was supposed to get stabbed on Lake Shore Drive or whatever it is. And then spoilers. They're like, no, she doesn't get stabbed there. Now she's, you know, murdered here.
Right.
No, she's murdered here. Sometimes maybe fate, he's worried that fate will do its deal.
But the point Hayden's making is that, and again, we're talking about a future episode, but that was in the past. And every time Ben did something, it changed the past. If he's leaping to the future to try to change something, what's the difference of him leaping 5 years in the future to do something or just waiting for that 5 years to expire and then do it when he's actually there?
Or get it going in the 5 years.
Right. Or do something in the five. It depends on what the problem is. Do something in that time frame to resolve before it happens. No matter what happens in 5 years, this is going to happen. And Ben knows about it, whether he leaps there or he waits 5 years to get there, he's eventually going to get there. Why go to all the trouble and spend these 10 to 20 leaps, depends on if they get picked up for a second season.
Well, there'll be 40 now, won't it?
Yeah. But so like that explanation. But anyways, why spend these 10 to 20 leaps leaping around backwards in time to throw himself forward in time and maybe not getting home when he could have just waited it out? And that's a very good point.
The only thing that I can think of is that if Leaper X is stuff up in the past, in the process of trying to prevent all these things that are going to happen in the future, maybe he feels like he needs to chase Leaper X to try and put them right. In fact, maybe that's the path that he has set out because he has actually predetermined what his leaps are. So maybe he's already scanned through time and found where things have deviated and maybe that's where he's leapt so that he can put right what Leaper X has put wrong.
Perhaps. That's a very good possibility. I'm curious on more on this Leaper X.
Yeah. But they haven't really touched on much of Leaper X after this episode. Spoiler alert. But
yeah, that was one of Michelle's complaints. But I wasn't going to bring it up. I thought about it, but wasn't going to bring it up because, again, it doesn't revolve around this episode. Because this episode, they did talk quite a bit about Leaper X, a.k.a. Richard Martinez.
I like Leaper X better.
No, we're not going to call him that. I love Magix and SZA. No, that's not a thing.
Why? Why is this not a thing?
He just doesn't like that concept of Leaper X.
He's just trying to be very, very professional.
Yes. Yeah.
What I loved, I think, the best about like the discussions that the project was having, I loved how Jen just says, should we just kill him?
Matter of fact, I
like Jen.
Yeah.
She's been growing. I like her personality. It's just like very like, well, because she looks very professional, but like you forget that she was in jail.
She was a felon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's a felon. So saying things like that really keeps up with her character, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I think that she and Magic are two very complementary sides of the same coin. Magic's the one that will try and do everything by the book. But when that can't happen, Jen finds a way to get it done.
You saw
that when she found all the information about the senator as well and told Magic, blackmail her if you have to. And then today she's just like, if we just kill him, that gets rid of him. And Magic's like, no, we can't do that. He hasn't done anything wrong yet.
But
I think the American government's killed people for less.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not saying that's true or not, but But no, I agree with you. Hey, I do like that discussion they had about the fourth dimension. You know, well, maybe he's works for some private corporation, which again made me think of that Mirror's Edge. Was that the end of that last book?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, where the guy found out about Quantum Leap and, you know, or, you know, maybe a foreign government. And Addison's like, well, no, he had an English accent or American accent.
Which he didn't, by the way.
Or maybe
he sounded very stereotypical, you know, Mexican.
Or they're like, or maybe, you know, who knows what happens to the project in 5, 10, 20, 30 years. You know, maybe he's from the project. So I do like that they were thinking of all the different possibilities that it could be.
Yeah, that was great. What you were saying, Michelle, about how it was nice learning a little bit more about Ben's backstory, I thought that was really nice, but I was really worried watching those scenes because it was venturing very, very close into stereotype territory.
Yes, it was.
The you not Asian, you Bijan territory. Oh, sorry, I said that wrong, sorry. The you not Bijan, you Asian territory. No calculator, calcu now. No.
But they did a really good job with kind of basing it on his IQ. Having that put that in there kind of made it less stereotypical because she was like, well, you had an IQ of 100 and blah, blah, blah. Then I could see why your mom was frustrated. So it really had nothing to do with like, you're this culture and you should have this. But it was more like, you're special. Why are you this?
That's an Asian F.
Yeah.
At least putting those lines in there kind of band-aided it for me.
Right.
I also think that the fact that they kind of interspersed Ben, like some scenes with Ben in amongst that montage, current Ben, I mean,
right,
and his great acting, I think also helped out a little bit there. The way it was edited and presented came across a lot better than it easily could have ended up being.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was very nice. And it's interesting the fact that he did manage to call his mother, but didn't get to have a conversation, unfortunately. But it does also seem that they're trying to parallel the original series.
I had that thought, too, as you mentioned that. It was very much reminiscent of the very first episode, the second Leap, when he called his dad, where he was able to talk to his dad for a few minutes. And, you know, so I'm a relative, I'm your brother's son or something like that. And where here, he just calls his mom up and then he leaps out, which is kind of funny. So he's left John Harvey on the phone with his mom and he's like, I don't know why I called her for. What the heck? Who are you? I would love to see that part of the conversation.
Let me ask you.
Yes.
This is a very personal question. I know my answer, but I have my, wouldn't you give just for one split second, be able to call and hear your brother's voice?
Oh, yeah. No,
for a second?
Yeah, no, if I was back in time and call my brother or my mother, yeah, I would. No, I would definitely.
So. I feel like...
Oh, no, I didn't think it was wrong. I just like the parallels to, like Hayden was saying, to the original series, how
right
there was a couple of times Sam tried calling or he did call his dad.
But the reason why I say that is this, because actually I cringed at that part because I was like, well, wait a minute. Had he not leapt at that exact moment,
right,
what he said, Mom, what is that going to, like, what would her response be? Like, who's this? I'm, you know, my son sitting in the living room or whatever.
Right.
Then, you know, how would that exchange have gone? And I don't know if he felt the leap coming on and if that's maybe something that they're going to talk about later on is like, do you feel the leap? Because, well, yes. I know the other person feels a tap or whatever magic bullshit reason was, but
the nudge.
Yeah. Well,
I like that. At first I wasn't quite sure, but I like that in retrospect because it explains to me at least answers a lot of questions we've had about why he didn't leap in sooner, why he didn't leap into this person, why he didn't why these things happen other than just, well, that's where God, time, fate, whatever, pet him.
Well, but that's the whole purpose of God, fate, time, whatever.
But you've seen this. We can talk about it. Was it God, time, fate, or whatever? Or was it Sam directing himself?
And it seems to me that religious people would be a bit happier the fact that they do still have some free will. You know, that seems to be every religious person's get out of jail free card.
Right. So. And again, it was part of my my first initial complaint when I first saw that whole nudge thing is that it speaks to today's, in quotes, woke society, where you've got to have permission, you've got a free will and all this, where it kind of answers that people have to let them in. But that was my original, I guess, problem with it, is I think it leans too far to the left. But looking back at it in the original series, that actually, when I say it, kind of clears up a little bit more why he leapt into certain times or certain people, is because if he tried to leap into somebody else, maybe they didn't accept the nudge and he had to find other people to leap into. And that's sometimes it would take longer. And that's why, for instance, in the, I forget the name of it, the one, Good Night, Sweetheart, or whatever it was.
Good Night, Dear Heart.
Good Night, Dear Heart. Thank you. Why he didn't leap in earlier to save Hildy, because maybe he couldn't find anyone that would accept the nudge until after the fact. And so it kind of reverted to him, instead of him saving her, him finding out who really killed her. But that's just me. Anyways.
It's a good thought process, but
I usually am. I kept the kids anyways.
The other thing that we should point out to anyone who complains about the show being too far from the left, obviously hasn't seen the original series.
Yes.
The original series was about as far left as you could always go.
Oh, I know. I got many, many, many Facebook arguments with people about that.
Yeah. But having said that, though, I think Don Belisario himself is quite conservative, and he did want to try and have some conservative voices throughout. And I think Tommy Thompson, when he was interviewed on the Quantum Leap podcast, you know, he commented that Don didn't really care what stance you took as long as, you know, most sides ended up heard at some point.
Right.
So, yeah. So generally it's a show for everyone, but you got to remember that these ideas of trying to help others, you know, trying to make sure that the best things happen, you know, that's far more something that people from the left would think about.
Yeah. Well, that, yeah. And the whole, yeah, helping out black people and giving women a voice and making, you know, the women's issues that Deborah wrote a lot about are, yeah, again, usually stuff that's on the left. So,
yeah. I was going to say something. You know, we haven't really talked at all about the leap, have we?
A little bit, but not all. That's what I was saying. We haven't gotten much into the leap yet. Except
I was just going to say, Michelle, I don't actually think that the couple reconcile. They might have been more amicable, but I don't think that they actually got back together.
They said that.
Did they? I don't remember them.
And then the kid went to architecture school and built bridges and all of that stuff.
The kid repaired his relationship with his mother, but I don't think we got any confirmation that the parents got back together.
NCNC, because
I might have misunderstood.
Because they had a lot more issues than Ben. Can I say Sam? Than Ben could fix.
And I thought that was perfectly fine. I mean, you know, if people are better off apart, then they should be apart. But you can still try and be amicable and pleasant to each other in the process. But yeah, it was generally a nice leap story. Very simple, really, but nothing that I could really complain about. It's nice seeing more hologram effects.
Yes,
I think that this being the pilot, they were hoping to draw people in with a few extra effects than they were planning on doing further down the track. But yeah, I liked the tracing out of how he'd have to bash on the guy's chest to jumpstart his heart. And
her heart. It was when Naomi got shocked. It was Naomi, yeah. His wife got shocked. And yeah, I was going to say, I like that, how they had the hall, because I remember that from like the Pool Hall Blues.
Yeah.
When Al laid out how Sam had to shoot the ball, it was kind of the same thing. Well, you just follow the arc and hit her, you know, and give her a good thump, and that'll restart her heart.
And Addison was going through more things as well. And I like the fact that they even just said, oh, yeah, you're a hologram. Just go in there, see what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, like they were like, was he in there? And she like walked in. Oh, yeah, I forgot, you're a hologram.
Yeah, yeah. So, look, I don't so much mind them not leaning too heavy into the hologram side of things, as long as we don't forget about it.
Right.
So they do need to do it occasionally, but I honestly don't mind too much. They just say, you know, for the sake of Ben's sanity, let's try and make Addison seem as real as possible.
Right.
Just so that Ben doesn't get too confused and discombobulated in the process. we were talking a bit about what was she sitting on at the space station leap.
Yeah. You know?
And, well, it could just be that she might not actually be sitting down in the imaging chamber. She's got to be in the imaging chamber to link up with Ben, but
right.
It might just be that, you know, so that she blends in better for Ben's peace of mind, that the image it projects makes it look like she's sitting down.
But would that be programmed into the computer itself? Because they weren't programming the hologram imaging chamber around Ben's psyche for her and him. I mean, yes, she was supposed to leap for him.
Right.
So, but I mean, that just seems like a really far-etched concept when...
Well, I mean, as long as there was an observer...
Right, but if the observer, when they were supposed to leap later on, when the project was figured out, and he was able to leap in and out and come home and back, or she was able to actually, because she was supposed to be the leap B.
Leaper.
Leapette, whatever. Then that just seems to be a very, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Aaron-type response.
Well, once they have it figured in, I mean, it doesn't take that much. I don't think as advanced as Ziggy is, even though we still don't get her talking yet, it does. I don't think it would take that much more to change it instead of focus around Ben as the hologram, having it focus around Addison. I was about ready to call her Allison. Focusing around Addison instead. I mean, I don't think it's that far of a leap for the technology we're talking about.
And also, let's not forget to think back to Genesis. Sam told Al off because he couldn't stand seeing Al walking through things. So, and Al's like, what, you want me to walk around things that aren't even here? And he's like, yes! So, I mean, if it pissed Sam off, then it's likely to do something to Ben as well.
That just have been a personality quirk, and it could have been that he had a bad day and someone pissed in his Cheerios. I mean, because it wasn't something that was revisited on several occasions.
Well, I think the main reason they put that in there, that line in there in the original series, was that way they can explain if they don't want to have to use hologram technology for Al walking through something, it gives them reason why he would walk around something.
So that they don't have to always do the green screen
effects. Yeah.
So that they can actually have Dean Stockwell there.
Right, that would explain the actual psyche.
And again, but if it's already programmed to the computer, I mean... I don't know. I just don't have a problem with it. I think it works fine. Though I did notice we were talking about that Facebook post that you were complaining about, people calling her Allison. On that same post, someone was complaining about the fact that Addison would sit down or, you know, these other things. Well, does it make sense they would have her do that? Does it make sense to you? It doesn't mean it doesn't make sense. But
it doesn't make sense. I'm sorry. I'm right there with them. I think that is a...
You can always come up with an argument like that hand waves it, though. You could say, right, she realizes there's chairs in the hologram here. She'll put a chair in the imaging chamber near where it is, so she'll sit down and it'll look like she's sitting down.
Because we haven't actually seen the inside of the imaging chamber.
Yeah, we have. First episode.
Yeah.
Or at least part of it. Remember the honeycomb sort of technique?
Oh, yes, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I sit mistaken.
And wasn't she on a platform at the time? In the imaging chamber, wasn't she on a platform?
It very much looked like Professor X to me.
Yeah, kind of a platform. So she could have been sitting on the edge of the platform when she sat in the space shuttle, which
that's
makes
a good
sense.
Point.
That'll give you.
So I mean, I forgot about that. We did see the inside. Yeah, that one brief moment. So she
had a chair in the imaging chamber.
Well, I don't know if she would have brought a chair, but I was going to say maybe there was a chair in there. But since we did see it, it does look like Professor X's, at least from the movies. Cerebro, she was probably sitting on the ledge so she could get that look of her sitting on the shuttle.
Yeah. And the ledge didn't really look all that big either. So so that's probably leaning a little bit more into what I was saying, that it's probably just projecting something that makes it look more natural to Ben, because I don't think she's going to be walking around as freely as she has been on that tiny little ledge. Although we haven't seen all of the imaging chamber, it might be that the imaging chamber is far bigger than we were given the impression of.
Yeah, we don't know quite know when she's moving around. When, like, for instance, this episode, since we are talking about this episode, when she was following Ben through like that long corridor and stuff.
Through the tunnel, yeah.
The tunnel, thank you. We don't know, was she walking that entire time, or was it just she standing still and Ziggy was making it look like she was walking?
Or is there a conveyor belt underneath?
Or is there a conveyor belt,
yeah,
or
a treadmill or something?
Yeah, we don't quite know what. I see, we saw that brief look at, but we don't know exactly the in and outs of the image.
Yeah, exactly what creates this virtual reality. Yeah.
So, yeah. And that's one good thing about not explaining it too much, is it does leave that wiggle room that, well, it could work this way. We haven't seen it. So who's to say that's not how it works?
I don't like unknown at all.
So I don't mind it because it gives a little bit more room for plausibility or for explanations, hand waving, whatever you need to do. I mean, just
well, look, the leap itself was fine. It wasn't anything really major. I thought it might be a bit of more action-packed, really, with being an earthquake episode.
Right.
Although trying to revive the couple of people that were unconscious was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Trying to get through, you know, everything that was shaking was kind of cool. So,
I thought it was kind of awkward he didn't know CPR, when pretty much everybody kind of knows how to do CPR.
Maybe he forgot it in the leaping process.
That, or maybe he has. If you don't use it in so long, maybe you don't think, you know.
Yeah.
Because I've been through so many CPR trainings,
right,
that
it's you're going for a teacher route, so right, you're always going to be getting that refresher or that or this. Right. So I mean, I haven't had a CPR course since I was probably back when I was taking swimming lessons back when I was Alexis's age or so. So I've had a
and
CPR
remember
course.
Too, Ben wasn't originally going to be the leaper, so
right,
maybe he didn't have the same sort of first aid training that Addison has. I mean, it's a bit negligent, but you know, it's quite possible.
Well, then, like you were also saying, it could also be part of the Swiss cheese. Maybe he just doesn't remember how. Maybe, you know, he knows how, it just he can't remember how at this moment because, you know. So later on, he could use CPR. It wouldn't be necessarily be inconsistent. It just he finally remembered it.
So yeah, the leap was fine. I was actually a bit more into the project side of things in this episode, though, which you would probably expect when they left the previous episode on such a big cliffhanger, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, especially talking about the evil leaper or the other leaper. I don't want to label Richard Martinez as a evil leaper at this point, but the other leaper. And again, I do like, as I've said before, when they deal with the project or something personal, you know, so when we're dealing with the leaper, the other leaper, I do like that. So,
yeah.
And again, we have watched up to season episode 9. And yeah, that's one thing that I will say for spoilers that, yeah, they haven't gotten much into the other leaper beyond this. You know, a question Michelle was asking when we were watching this is maybe it was, did you ask it on here yet? Did Janice send Richard? Was she the one that's behind him leaping?
Well, actually, at first I thought was Janice the actual leapy in the actual thing. But I still think Janice has a lot to do with that aspect.
Yeah, we'll find out more about that in the future.
Yeah.
Let's put a pin in that for all three of us.
Well, this was a really good episode. It's probably the best one of the first 6. I'll give it that.
I agree. Yeah. What do you think, Michelle?
I don't remember the other ones except for, but I like this one.
Well, what have we had? We had the
heist was the first one.
Yeah. Then we had the space station.
Space station.
The boxing one.
I'd say the boxer, the bounty hunter.
I liked that one.
Yeah. And then there was the one that was in the Wild West. And then this one in the earthquake.
So, yeah, no, I think I agree with you, Hayden, that this is probably the best of the first 6.
Yeah.
I did like this one. And again, like you said, a lot of it was due to the stuff happening in present day.
Yeah.
Sleep itself wasn't bad, but yeah, I like the present day makes this one the best.
Yeah, definitely. And you're exactly right, Michelle. This one got the balance just about right, too.
Yeah.
I think it was a little more heavy on the leap, but there was enough with the Leaper X mystery going on at the project and actually meeting him and trying to get to know him a little bit that, yeah, it didn't feel like either was being shoved down our throats too much.
Right. And I do like the mystery it's left up. Well, you know, how does – and like I was telling him, finish that thought real quick. So I do like the mystery it leaves is how does Richard get involved with the project or whatever? How did he become leaping? And like I was telling Michelle when we were watching it, when, you know, Magic shows up to his house, and Richard's like, he can tell that Magic is high up in the military. And he's like, before I even say anything, yes, I'm in. I'm like, you know what? That eagerness is probably what causes him to get involved with whatever makes him leap. That he, someone from the military seems high up, he shows up, and he's eager to join in some secret mission or whatever it is. So he's like, yeah, without knowing what it is, I'll do it. So I'm sure that's what helps get him involved with whatever he gets involved with in the future.
And also committing whatever atrocities that Ben is trying to stop him from doing as well.
You see atrocities. We don't know exactly what Ben's trying to stop him from doing.
Well, that's true. But we do know that he is chasing Leaper X because, you know, he says it himself. So. Yeah. But that's the sort of thing, though. You know, someone who's too eager to follow orders, they're going to follow even the worst orders that could happen. And how many of the world's atrocities have come from people who were just following orders?
Yes. Yep. Yep. No, I could see him. No atrocities have been mentioned yet. All we know is that Ben seems to be following it well. And we don't even know if Ben's actually following him. All we know for certain is that Ben is following a certain path back through time. And then the Leaper X, and apparently we are calling him that, Leaper X told him to quit following him. So we don't know if Ben following him, or is it just a coincidence they cross paths and Leaper X thinks he's following him? See, at this point, we've got all these questions without really any answers yet, which as long as they answer the questions, I like. But now that we got a full season ordered and a second season ordered,
yay,
I'm sure they're going to answer the questions.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because it's kind of like they've set themselves this 10 to 20 leap sort of barrier or buffer, right. And now they've ordered another season, which is going to be 20 plus more episodes after that. Given the way that they've been talking, we are going to bring Ben back. We're not going to let the same thing that happened to Sam happen to Ben. Things like that. It makes me think that by the end of the season, this season, we're going to see a resolution to the reason why Ben leapt and what he's trying to stop and see him try to save Addison. I actually think he will leap home by the end of the season.
He could. Then
there'll be some reason why he has to leap again.
Well, maybe he's still trying to save Sam next season or...
Remember, too, the thing with the Senator, he's got a... They've promised that someone will travel back in time and save her brother too.
Yeah. So
it might be ordered that he has to leap just because they promised it to the Senator.
Or, yeah, they may change the concept and maybe next season he can leap willy-nilly and, you know, go back home when he wants. We don't know what the future holds in store for Quantum Leap, which makes it exciting, at least to me. It makes it exciting and fresh that we don't know what's going to happen. Is Ben going to be leaping blind this whole time, or does he get home at the end of the season? We don't know, which I like that unknownness of it at this point, because again, it reminds me of back when we first watched Quantum Leap 30 years ago.
Yeah. Well, the intrigue seems to be keeping us coming back,
mm-hmm.
even if Michelle doesn't like it.
So, Michelle, do you have any other thoughts, anything else you want to talk about on What a Disaster?
No, it wasn't that much of a disaster. I thought it was a pretty good episode all in all.
And Hayden, any other thoughts on What a Disaster?
Well, what I will say is that the series seems to be on an upward trajectory, and it hasn't seemed to peak just yet. I'll be interested to see if it does. But, yeah, they're doing well.
And, yeah, no, I agree with you. It's so far, it's on an upward trajectory. Trajectory? That's not a word. Upward trajectory. And, again, we have – this is episode 6. We have seen it through episode 9. And, yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. I can't wait for the next episode. I want to see what happens next. I want to delve more into this whole Richard Martinez, a.k.a. Leaper X. I want to find out, you know, why Ben leapt. What's he trying to, you know, what's he trying to do exactly? And, yeah, the whole mystery of it. So I'm enjoying it myself. So, well, I guess we've wrapped this episode up. Unless you guys have any other thoughts that you want to think of, I guess we'll go ahead and end this. Hayden, thank you once again very much for joining us. It's always a pleasure having you on the show.
Always a pleasure to be had.
That's what I tell people. But anyways, until next time, we'll see you later.
Thank you for listening to the Starbright Project. Join us monthly as we continue leaping with Sam and Al. If you like the show, I recommend buying Quantum Leap on Blu-ray. You can also watch it on the NBC website or app. The only thing on this show that Michelle and I own are our thoughts and opinions. NBC Universal own the rights to Quantum Leap, and any songs that we use are owned by their respective owners. Any clips we use, we're using good faith for the show. I know this doesn't excuse us legally, but we just want NBC to sue us. We're just big fans of the show and want to share that love with the world. For more podcasting goodness, check out the other shows on the Headcast Network. Head Speaks is released on the first Tuesday of the month, where I talk about comics, TV shows, movies, books, and whatever I want, but it's usually geek-related. G.I. Joe, Aurora Mucket Headcast, is normally out the second Tuesday of the month, where a rotating batch of guest hosts and I discuss the G.I. Joe comics and cartoons from the 80s. The third Thursday brings us Task Force X, where I talk about John Ostrander's Suicide Squad and Paul Kupperberg's Checkmate comics, both from the late 80s, early 90s. Finally, the fourth Tuesday of the month, we have the Starman Manhunter Adventure Hour, where I examine the Will Payton Starman comic and the Mark Shaw Manhunter comics, again, both from the late 80s. Then on Thursdays, I release my second batch of shows, where Michelle shows up on most of them. The first Thursday of the month, I'll be releasing the Starbright Project, a Quantum Leap podcast, where Michelle and I look at the greatest time travel show in the late 80s and early 90s. Then the second Thursday of the month, look for Retrospect of the 80s. You guessed it, Michelle and myself take a time travel trip back to the greatest decade that was, in my opinion. The third Thursday will possibly, maybe bring another show, Voyager's Cast, where Michelle, I, and some guests look at the best time travel show from the early 80s. And finally, on the fourth Thursday of the month, I have Bravo Team, where myself and possibly some guest hosts talk about anything G.I. Joe related, not covering the main G.I. Joe show. Also, if you like what I'm doing, please check out my Patreon page at patreon.com/headcastnetwork. If you're enjoying my shows, throw a few bucks in the bin. It'll be most appreciated. But that'll do it for this episode. Join us next time to see where Sam ends up.
Oh, boy.